If you're local, it is good as well that you've given up your Saturday evening to come to the meeting. Now, the meeting goes on to approximately 7:45 tonight. It's not a long meeting. Some of you younger ones were here last night. Now, thank you very much for coming. I'd like to read some verses in the Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 27. The Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 27. Many of you will know that we've been dealing with questions that demand an answer. Questions from the Bible that really demand, not only deserve, but demand an answer. We've been thinking about the way to heaven. We've been thinking about the way of salvation. We've been thinking about what is the purpose of life. We've been thinking about what provides satisfaction in life. Tonight I'd like to read from Matthew 27, and it's from the day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read about a question that a man asked that I have called life's ultimate question. Life's ultimate question. The most important question that you could ever face is found down in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 27. This is the morning of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. This was the day when the Lord Jesus was crucified, nailed to the cross at the place called Calvary. And the man that is speaking here is a man called Pilate. He's the Roman governor. He's the man who really is in charge of affairs in the city of Jerusalem. And in verse 22, he says this, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor, Pilate, said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult, a riot was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now just before I begin to speak about these verses, I want to read verse 22 again. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This is the question I want to focus on this evening. As God would give help, I want to consider the seriousness of this big question that really does demand a response, an answer from your heart tonight. When I was a young fellow coming to meetings like this back home in Scotland, I remember meetings when this passage, when this very verse was preached. And I can specifically remember a man quoting a poem or quoting a hymn, and as a 14-year-old, not saved, not on the way to heaven, still in my sins, separated from God, I did not like what he quoted. Do you know what he said? He said, what are you going to do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. One day, your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? You see, friends, from the front to the back, and on my right and on my left, young and old, every single one of us will either be in heaven or in hell at the end of life's journey. We're all going somewhere. We're all traveling to a destination. And it all depends where we'll be 100 years from tonight, 1,000 years from tonight, 10,000 years from tonight, as we've been singing. We will either be in heaven or in hell, and it's all determined, it's all dependent upon what we do here and now with Jesus, which is called Christ. You don't get to heaven by good works. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." We'll never be in heaven as a result of something we can boast about. We'll never be in heaven as a result of being religious. We'll never be in heaven as a result of being baptized or christened. We'll never be in heaven as a result of coming to Sunday school or Bible club. We'll never be in heaven as a result of being brought up in a Christian home, never mind a so-called Christian country. We will be in heaven as a result of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So I ask you the question tonight, what are you going to do with Jesus? You cannot opt out. You cannot say, not relevant to me. Well, you can if you want, but you'll go to hell. What are you going to do with Jesus? What have you done with him up until this point? It's life's burning, inescapable question. For years growing up in a Christian home and going to meetings week in, week out, I tried to dodge that question. I tried to avoid it. I tried to put it to the back of my mind. But on a daily basis, sometimes more than I can even remember now, but on a regular basis, twice, maybe three times a day, it would come into my head, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? He's the most important, unique person that has ever lived. He's the most significant person that has ever lived. And his death on the cross is the most significant event in the history of this world. And God judges every man, woman, boy and girl by their response to what took place that day at Calvary. So I ask you down here on my left, what have you done with Jesus? Have you trusted him? Over to my right, from the front right to the very back, what have you done with the Lord Jesus? Have you believed in him? Have you put your confidence in him? Have you agreed with God your need of him because of your sin, because of your wicked heart, because of your evil nature? Have you confessed before a holy God, "I'm a sinner, but thank you for the Lord Jesus, the sinless Savior who went to the cross to die my death, to pay my debt, to open up a way into your presence"? Have you thanked God for the Lord Jesus? Are you saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus? What have you done with him? I really hope, I really pray in every Christian, this is why we have meetings like this. We have meetings like this to introduce to you the Savior of the world. We have found him to be trustworthy. We've found him to be gracious and loving and kind. He is worthy of everyone's acceptance. We want to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it might be uncomfortable just now. And it might be the last thing on your mind on a Saturday evening to consider this great Savior in a world where he is misunderstood and misrepresented, and the world has a twisted, warped image of who Jesus Christ really is. I want you to think about him from the Bible standpoint. I want you to think about him as God presents him in his word, the Bible. I want you to consider the greatness of this man. Who asked this question? What is the background to this day? And I say again, I know maybe it's a long shot, but I really would encourage you, if you have a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, we can give you a Bible, free of charge. But if you get a Bible in your hands tonight, maybe you've even got the Bible on your phone, and before you go to sleep this evening, read Matthew chapter 27. Mark this chapter and read it from start to finish. It's one of the chapters in the New Testament that deals with the crucifixion day of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary 2,000 years ago, on that never-to-be-forgotten day, we call it Good Friday nowadays. You think of Easter time, the Lord Jesus was crucified that day, and at 9 o'clock in the morning he was taken by vicious, violent men, soldiers of Rome, and he was nailed alive to a cross of wood, and from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, the Lord Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, and he, in those hours upon the cross, he dealt with sin. It was not an accident that he was there. It was not a travesty of justice in the sense that, you know, he got arrested and he was overtaken by the power of the soldiers and he was nailed to the cross and he couldn't do anything about it. Not at all. The Lord Jesus deliberately went to the cross. He could have avoided going to the cross. He could have diverted his path from going to the cross, but he didn't. He went to the cross to die for sinners. He went to the cross to die for God's glory. He went to the cross to open up heaven to people like you and me. No sufferings of Christ, no salvation for sinners. And Christ went to the cross that never to be forgotten day. And in Matthew chapter 27, you get the history of it. There's other chapters as well, but just focus on where we're reading just now. Matthew 27 records what took place. But before 9 o'clock that morning, it had been a long night of betrayal, of mockery, where the Lord Jesus had been betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver. He'd been betrayed into the hands of so-called religious men who had hated the Lord Jesus Christ from day one. They'd hated him without a cause. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him because they were jealous of him. They thought he was an imposter. They hated him. And so eventually they got in touch with Judas, and Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Soldiers went to arrest the Lord Jesus in a garden called Gethsemane, and that started the long night of mockery. He was spat on. He was punched. He was brutally treated, verbally and physically maltreated. And then at early hours of the morning, the Jewish leaders took the Lord Jesus to this man called Pilate. You see, maybe at school you've done the Romans, and the Roman Empire were really the top nation in the world. They ruled over the most of the world 2,000 years ago. And the Romans had a man called Pilate who was the governor in Jerusalem. So these religious leaders, you read about them sometimes called Pharisees, sometimes called scribes. And they took the Lord Jesus and they brought him to Pontius Pilate in the early hours of the morning. In fact, they wakened the governor up from sleep. They wakened him up and they brought the Lord Jesus before Pilate because they had to get Pilate's say-so. Pilate had to sign the death warrant, if you like, of the Lord Jesus. The Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, they could not go and kill the Lord Jesus without the say-so of Pilate. So Pilate comes, I'm sure, out of a sleep, not wanting really to deal with this matter. But in the early hours of the morning, he's faced with a dilemma. He's faced with an issue that he must deal with. He knows in his heart of hearts that Jesus of Nazareth, the miracle worker, the great man of the people, was standing before him, and Pilate in his heart of hearts knew that he was an innocent man. Pilate in his heart of hearts knew that the Lord Jesus had done no wrong. And on many occasions that morning, Pilate says to these religious leaders regarding the Lord Jesus, "I find in him no fault at all. There is no just cause for me to crucify him. I'm going to send him away and I'm going to perhaps go back to bed." What happened was this. That morning turned into a morning of great dilemma for Pilate. Because these religious leaders were saying, this man, Jesus, is a problem to our nation. He is a rebel. He is an imposter. He says he's the Son of God. He says he is really something that he is not. And yet Pilate sized the whole situation up, and he knew in his heart of hearts, the Jews, the religious leaders, hated the Lord Jesus, were envious, were jealous of him. Jesus was innocent. End of story. But you know what Pilate did? He did something that maybe you are doing tonight, and you maybe don't want to admit it. As the time passed, as Pilate hears from the Jews, he actually murders his conscience. He knows what is right, but he does not have the courage of his convictions. He does not have the courage to stand up to these people and say, I'm going to take sides with Christ. You're the people who are in the wrong. This man's done nothing amiss. You're in the wrong. End of story. Goodbye. You say, well, how do you equate that with me? Well, from my own experience, there was never a time in my life I doubted the existence of God. I knew God was a reality. There was never a time in my life where I doubted my need of the Lord Jesus as Savior. I just didn't think he was relevant. And maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you know you've got God to meet. You know there's a God in heaven. You know that God holds your breath in his hand. You know that this whole universe is sustained by God. We didn't come into being by chance. We've all been made in the image of God. Made in his likeness. Created in his own image. And you know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth was here. Maybe you don't think too seriously about it. Maybe you've not given it a great deal of consideration. But you believe that historically. But for you to go a step further and actually embrace the Lord Jesus by faith and understand your spiritual need of the Lord Jesus, to admit your sin, to admit your distance from God, to admit your danger and the judgment of God that is going to fall upon you one of these days, you're living in denial. And you're murdering your conscience. You're just putting it to the back of your mind. And you think you've got forever. You think you've got tomorrow. Think you've got the next day. And you think you've got decades ahead of you. My friend, life is fragile. We're not here forever. And it is so important to waken up. It is so important to wise up. It's so important to face the issue. Rather than sticking your head in the sand and murdering your conscience, Pilate sought every possible way to avoid making a decision. It was a morning of dilemma. A morning of dilemma. Pilate thought to himself, well, these Jews are not going away. They're coming away with all these accusations and they're talking about witnesses against the Lord Jesus, but the witnesses didn't agree with each other. It had been a false trial. It had been an absolute mockery. It had been a disgrace. Nothing would have held up in any court of law. And Pilate knew that. He was not a simple man. And Pilate thought to himself, wait a minute. I'll let the Jews carry the can for this. He thought to himself, what I'll do is, this is the time of the Passover where the nation of Israel remember their deliverance from Egypt centuries before. And every Passover, every time of the year, at this time of the year, the Romans, Pilate, allowed the Jews to have one prisoner released. And Pilate thought, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to bring the worst prisoner. And I'm going to put him here. And then I'm going to bring the Lord Jesus and put him here. And I'm going to say to the crowd that had been whipped up to a frenzy by the Pharisees, by the scribes, I'm going to say to them, you choose who you want released this year. Passing the buck. He thought it was a really good scheme because he thought, no way will they choose Barabbas, this notorious, infamous criminal. He's a murderer. He's a robber. He takes life. Christ gave life. But to Pilate's astonishment, the whole crowd said, give us Barabbas, not this man. Give us Barabbas, not this man. Again, maybe that is resonating in your heart tonight. Maybe you would have everything and everyone before you would have Christ. I spoke to a man in Wallingford 2 or 3 days ago, just round the corner. I spoke to him about these meetings and the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't shut the door quick enough. It was almost like give him a lethal injection or poison or something. Terrified at the name of Christ. Petrified. You know what really terrified Pilate? Somebody said to Pilate in the course of that morning, if you let this man go, Christ, if you let him go, you will not be Caesar's friend. Some of you young ones were here last night when I said it takes courage to be a Christian. You'll need to be brave to be a Christian. If you really hope to be in heaven, you'll have to nail your colours to the mast here and now and trust Christ as your Saviour and understand that you are following a rejected man, that you are following someone who is hated on earth and hated by society. It takes bravery and courage to say no to the world, to turn your back on your sin, and to turn to the Lord Jesus. Pilate wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to do that. Are you ready to do that tonight? Another hymn I used to hate being given out when I was young. Old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. You see, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be everybody's pal. I didn't want to stand out like a sore thumb. I probably didn't know what the term meant, but peer pressure was something that I suffered from. I didn't want to be the only Christian in my class. I didn't even want people to know that I went to the gospel hall. I remember many times walking to the gospel hall with my Bible, and if I saw anybody that knew me, I'd put my Bible up my jumper, or I wasn't even saved, but I didn't want to be identified with Christ. I didn't want to be the laughing stock of the class. But the Lord Jesus is looking for true followers. He's looking for loyal, genuine believers, disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not looking for fake. This world's got no time for fake Christianity. People smell fake Christianity. Pilate wasn't willing to go against the crowd. He wasn't willing to damage his career prospects. He probably saw a pathway that was leading to promotion, a pathway that was leading further up the pecking order, and he wanted to be Caesar's friend. You know, the Lord Jesus said himself, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's just another word for the world. You cannot serve God and serve the world. You cannot please God and please the world. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either in Christ or you're still in your sins. You're either bound for heaven or you're bound for hell. There's no grey areas here. And so, it's a morning of dilemma. Pilate tried, I really do believe Pilate tried to find a way out of pleasing the crowd and still releasing the Lord Jesus. But ultimately he had to make a decision. And you know what that decision was? to crucify the Lord Jesus. Even although in his heart of hearts he knew that the man standing before him was sinless, was the absolute personification of truth. And when it dawned on him that the crowd are not going to be satisfied, he asked this question: if you want Barabbas, if you don't want the Lord Jesus, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What a question. Again, I turn it over to you tonight. What are you going to do with him? Pilate ultimately scourged him. That's an awful, awful thing. Scourging was terrible torture. It was like a whip. And at the end of the whip, there would be sharp pieces of metal and bone and ivory. And it would rip the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ back until it resembled a field that had been ploughed up. And his back was ploughed and his head was crowned with thorns, and he was spat upon and beaten, and then he was delivered to be crucified when a heavy cross of wood was placed on the back of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus carried it from the city of Jerusalem outside northwards to a place called Calvary, where it's really a skull, place of a skull. The place was a place of death and execution. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. His hands and feet were nailed at 9 o'clock in the morning. And for 6 hours, as I said earlier, he hung on the cross. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The answer to his own question was this: Pilate crucified him. Pilate was culpable. Pilate was guilty. The amazing thing is this, that one of the men on the cross beside the Lord Jesus, there was three crosses, the Lord Jesus in the middle and one man on either side. These men were thieves. They were criminals. And one of the criminals turns to the Lord Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And you put the question to the thief who's hanging beside the Lord Jesus: what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm going to crown him as Lord. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to rest on him. He's done nothing wrong. He's sinless. And I believe he's going to rise again. And I'm going to trust him as my Savior. Do you know, there was also a centurion. This is quite amazing. Pilate was the governor, but there was a centurion who was really in charge of orchestrating events at the cross. 9 o'clock in the morning, he was crucifying Christ. By 12 o'clock that day, he was seriously considering the Lord Jesus Christ. But by 3 in the afternoon, he was confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and his Savior, a righteous man. Oh, I ask you tonight, I really appeal to you on this Saturday evening in Wallingford, wherever life finds you, in whatever stage of life, whether you're young or old or in between, religious or otherwise, it doesn't matter. But as individuals, you have to come face to face with this question, because what I say, it became a morning of dilemma, a morning of serious thought for Pilate, a morning of decision. But that decision sealed his destiny. That decision became his destiny. You see, I'll put it very plainly as I close. The Bible teaches a principle that whatsoever a person sows, that also shall he reap. So Pilate said no to the Lord Jesus in effect. Pilate said, I'm not going to believe him. I'm not going to trust him. I'm going to crucify him. And that's the end of the matter. But as far as God was concerned, what Pilate did to the Lord Jesus determined his eternal destiny. So I said it earlier and I say it again. What you do in your lifetime, as you come to meetings like this, whether it's a Friday night or a Sunday or whatever whether you're speaking to a Christian, whether you're reading the Bible, whenever you come face to face with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's giving you an opportunity to get saved. God's given you a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be saved and get right with himself. But your final decision in your lifetime will determine where you'll be. So if you say no to the Lord Jesus all the days of your life, you'll never be in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But if you, like the dying thief or like the centurion, in your lifetime, turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus and look into the Word of God and consider the greatness of the Lord Jesus and accept him as your personal Savior, put your trust, put your confidence in him and confess him as Lord, you're in effect saying yes to the Lord Jesus, and you'll be welcomed into heaven. You'll be welcomed into glory. I ask the question again tonight and then pray. What are you going to do with Jesus? He's the Savior, which is called the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the sinless one. He's the one who died at Calvary for the ungodly. He bore sin's tremendous load on the cross. He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. On the cross, the sinless one bore sins not his own, died for ungodly, rebellious sinners like us. I wonder, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered Jesus, which is called Christ? Remember, it will be determined where you'll be forever by what you do here and now with Christ. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we come to give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he ever went to the cross. We've been considering already Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and in order for sinners to be saved, thy Son had to suffer. And we thank thee for so loving the world that thou, a holy God, gave thy darling Son. We praise thee that on the cross thy Son suffered. He was judged. The sword of justice was plunged into him, and he died there on the cross. We thank thee, our Father, that he rose again, though, and he's a living Savior, able and willing to save. We long that someone will not do what Pilate did and try and wash their hands and avoid the issue of trusting the Lord Jesus. We pray that someone in this very room tonight will seek the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless thy word. May it find a lodging place. May it continually be a challenge throughout the hours of this night. And may faith be, come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We ask this as we part now in the Savior's name. Amen. Thank you very much for your attention. Remember the final meeting tomorrow at 5:00. Thank you. Thank you.